Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Teaching Tips, episode 301. And today we're discussing the balance and blend of the different parts of our Sunday gatherings. I posted a poll on my YouTube channel recently asking people this question: what do you think is the best balance of the Sunday lesson to everything else in the service? For example, singing, prayer, Lord's Supper, and other things like that. I'll put the poll in the show notes and on the screen. But essentially, 38% of respondents said 25% of the time or less, a quarter or less, that's the lesson. 38% said between 25 and 50% of the time, between a quarter and a half of the time should be the lesson. And 25% said between 50 and 75% of the time when we're gathered together, in other words, between half and three quarters. Now, that's all pretty even, actually. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think it illustrates the fact that we've all got different preferences and opinions. And I wonder whether we're reflecting that in the way that we lead our congregations and serve them with the different elements of the service, including the lesson. Now, from what I can tell from the New Testament, having studied it a fair bit about worship, they don't seem to have had in the first century a uniform structure. It's not like the church in Galatia. It looks like it did exactly the same thing as the church in Ephesus or somewhere else. It looks like there was quite a bit of variation from what we can tell. And maybe there's a reason why we don't get a lot of detail. Maybe it's because God doesn't want us to pattern ourselves after the first century precisely, because what's important are the certain elements in the service rather than the structure and the proportions. So that's something to think about. But I do think as you study the New Testament, you do get some idea of core things that seem to be important when Christians gathered to worship together. Acts 2:42 is the key opening scripture in that, but I don't think that's meant to be a pattern. But I do think it gives us some ideas. And so singing and praying together seem to be important. We see that elsewhere in the New Testament, singing, Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, a lot of praying together in Acts, in the book of Acts in particular, a lot of urging to pray together in the epistles. So singing and praying together, verbally expressed worship, you could say. Eating together seems important. Again, Acts 2:42, but other parts in the New Testament, they're eating together. In the church in Corinth, they're eating. They're not eating it together in a very good way. That's why Paul writes his corrections, but they are eating together. And it seems to be connected to the Lord's Supper. Perhaps the Lord's Supper was part of their eating together or something like that. But eating together, Lord's Supper. Thirdly, learning together. God's word needs to be read. Paul tells Timothy to read in public. The preaching of God's word is something that is common throughout the New Testament. And in Acts 2, again, we see the teaching and preaching of God's word being valued. So learning together. And fourthly, fellowshipping together. Fellowship is so important. And there's so many instructions about valuing our fellowship. So it seems to me these four elements are pretty much core to our gatherings together. It doesn't mean if one's missing, it makes that church service illegitimate or something. But I think those four are pretty important as a habit. Let's put it that way, not a pattern. Singing and praying together, eating together, learning together, fellowshipping together. So many other things would be legitimate in our congregational gatherings. We need to do announcements sometimes. Testimonies can be valuable, all kinds of things. But these seem pretty much essential. And if you disagree with me, then that's just fine. Let me know your thoughts, please. Malcolm@malcolmcox.org. However, if I'm even close to the mark, a secondary question arises, which is, what is the best balance of these four elements? So hence the question I posted on my YouTube channel. Now, the traditions I grew up in as a kid put less emphasis on the lesson and fellowship and more on singing, prayer, and the Lord's Supper. I vividly remember one evensong service when I was a teenager, probably 14 or 15, singing in the church choir that evening. I vividly remember an enthusiastic new young curate who was given his opportunity to preach, who should normally have preached for 10 minutes, and that would be about normal. He went on for 20 minutes. I can tell you, us in the choir stools were getting very restive because we were going to leave late and get home late for our tea. And the congregation were not happy about it at all. It was a scandal. 20 minutes, he messed up the whole service. But, you know, length and proportions, we can't be rigid about it, can we? I mean, take the Apostle Paul in Acts 20 as an extreme example. In Acts 20, he's there with the church in verse 7, the first day of the week. We came together to break bread. Sounds like a gathering of Christians for worship. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. So as a proportion of that church service, you might say, I think his preaching and teaching was probably 80, 90% of that service. I'm not suggesting that's how we should do all our services, but more that there isn't something in Scripture that tells us exactly what the proportions should be. So the question is, how do we determine what the proportions should be? I don't think we should be too hard and fast about our decisions regarding the most helpful proportions of singing, praying, eating, learning, and fellowshipping. But the question is why we have chosen the proportions that we have selected in our local context. For example, what proportion of time together do you spend on each element or on others where you are? And why has that been chosen to be the case? I'm going to go out on a limb here and propose that it's almost certainly the case that where you are, no one's actually thought about it. Like, if we've got an hour and a half together, how much time are we spending on prayer and singing and learning and eating and fellowshipping? And why have we chosen those proportions? Most likely, we've just inherited a tradition and haven't questioned it. Maybe we tweak it every now and again. But do we tweak it and change it deliberately for a particular purpose, or does it just happen? Funny thing, this last Sunday in Watford, I was away in Thames Valley, had a great time there. And in Watford, my good friend Douglas Jacoby spoke, and he spoke for about 15 minutes. Everybody was surprised when he sat down. No one was ready. They weren't ready for what happened next. And some were quite shocked. Now, although my sermons aren't very long on average, they're usually quite a bit longer than 15 minutes. And one of the attendees spoke to my wife afterwards and said how delighted he was that the lesson was shorter than usual because the service finished earlier and he was enjoying more fellowship. It wasn't he wanted to rush off home and just go and hide in a cave. He wanted more fellowship. So the fellowship for this person is a more significant part of his worship with the community of faith than for some other people. Other people would have preferred a longer lesson. Some people were probably disappointed that Doug didn't do a longer lesson. So inevitably, we have to disappoint somebody. Somebody would like more prayer. Somebody would like more time on communion. Somebody would like more fellowship time. Somebody would like a longer lesson or more detailed lesson. We're always going to have members of our congregations who value one of the elements more than the others. So how do we engage those with these different preferences, or perhaps even not just preferences? You could say different needs. These are all significant things in our spiritual life. Should we perhaps vary the proportions in our services week to week? One week more singing, another week more prayer, another week more of a focus on the Lord's Supper or even actually physically eating a meal together, another week more time spent on teaching and learning together, or another week more time spent on fellowship as part of our gathering. The challenge with changing things is that it can breed insecurity in people because they don't know what to expect week to week. And that's generally not helpful if it's too unpredictable. However, the advantage of more frequently changing the proportions of what we're doing may be that we end up serving the worship needs of the congregation more effectively in the round of as time goes by. So let me leave you with a few questions and let me know what you think. So firstly, what are the typical proportions allocated to different expressions of worship in your local gatherings? You might want to take a stopwatch and time things this next Sunday. It might be interesting. Don't do it surreptitiously so it doesn't look like you're timing somebody when they're up there speaking as if you're annoyed if they go beyond a certain time. But nonetheless, why not time things? Or perhaps do it over a period of a month and average it out. How long do you spend on different things? Secondly, why have the things that are in your services been chosen and given that amount of time? What do you think about varying things week to week, the different proportions of time given to different aspects of worship together? And in your opinion, do the scriptures give us any guidance on this? Anything that could help us with establishing healthy proportions of these things we talked about today? I would love to know your thoughts, so please drop me a line. Malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can email me there or you can contact me on the website, malcolmcox.org. I would like to know what you think, as I think, about our local situation and whether we've got our blend and balance right or we could make it a little healthier or perhaps vary it some more. I'm thinking about that right now. One last thing. If you haven't yet signed up for the AIM Institute of Athens Institute of Ministry for the UK and Ireland latest module, you still can do so. Although we had our teaching session on Saturday just gone, you can still join in the course because you can watch the lessons online and you can still take part. So if you'd like to, then you can sign up. If you look on Eventbrite, the link is in the show notes, or just email me or go to the website, aimukandireland.com. You'll find more information there. And if you can't find what you're looking for, do let me know. We had a fantastic time together last Saturday, myself, Douglas Jacoby, Andy Bawachi, and the students that were there in the building and those that were online. It was a deeply enriching experience, and I'm talking about it for myself as one of the teachers. Just listening and learning was a fabulous thing. So I feel like I've got a better picture of the Old Testament now. Maybe you'd like that too, so drop me a line. If you have any other thoughts, you know how to get a hold of me, and please pass the link on to somebody who might benefit. Leave a comment and click that like and subscribe and all those good things, and I'll be grateful beyond what you can understand. Until the next time, keep calm and carry on teaching. God bless.